Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3.
Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
How many's ever heard the story of Jonah before? Jonah and the big
whale.
But see, people say whale, they say fish, they say fish, they say whale. You know, there was a debate many years ago, but how can that possibly be true? You know, how could that possibly be true that a man can be swallowed by a fish? It doesn't say whale, it says a great what?
Fish.
Again, it doesn't say whale, it says fish. And so many people would say, how can that possibly be true? I mean, if anything, the story of Jonah being swallowed by a fish, how can that possibly be true? How would you defend that? If somebody said to you, how do you know that's true? Now, you're probably going to think about size of fish or something, right? You're probably going to want to go, wow. Think about this, what is it called, a whale shark or something, this great big thing that can swallow people. You'll probably be thinking about that. There's an easier way to prove that it's true. You don't have to be, you know, a person that understands marine life. You just need to be a person that understands the Word of God. And you only need to be a person that understands who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 12, 38 to 40. And this is how you prove that it's real. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 40.
Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be there, be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth."
Who's speaking there?
Jesus.
And Jesus is talking about who?
Jonah.
And so Jesus said that Jonah is real. Guess what I need to say? Jonah's real. If Scripture says Jonah was swallowed by a fish and was in the belly for 3 days, and Jesus said it was true, guess what? It's true. You don't have to go to the size of a fish and the size of the mouth. You don't need to do that. You just need to know that Jesus said it's true. So guess what? It's true. It's true. Let me tell you, Jonah's a short story. It's only 4 chapters in the whole book. And you probably could read it in 15 minutes. You probably could. And the whole theme of Jonah is, Jonah runs, Jonah prays, Jonah preaches, and Jonah pouts. How many could be Jonah in this room? Jonah runs, Jonah prays, Jonah preaches, and then Jonah what? Pouts. Let me see your best pout. Who's got some pout in here? We all got some pout, right? We got some pout in this church. Jonah runs, Jonah prays, Jonah preaches, and Jonah pouts. Have you ever cleaned a fish? Mark cleans fish. Who's ever cleaned a fish? How many's ever cleaned a fish and forgot to throw it away? I mean, can you imagine being in the belly of a fish for 3 days? Let me tell you something that you never want to do. Now, I'm going to give you a lesson that'll be worth your coming here today. You never, ever, ever, ever want to do this. How many take fish oil capsules? Omega-3 fish oil capsules? Awesome. So do I. You never want to do this, Clyde. Put them in your back pocket and turn on your electric heated seats. I'm assuring you that you don't ever want to do that. ever. Put them in your back pocket, forget you have them. Turn on your heated seats and arrive to one of the nursing homes you have to go to. Never do you want to do that. Because when you walk in, people go, you never want to do that. The second thing you never want to do is put those pants in your wife's laundry when you get home. Because it's costly when you do that. Because the speech that you hear when you do that is like this: did you put fish oil in my clothes? The second thing you hear in the speech is, wait here, I'm going shopping. So I want you to imagine that you are in the belly of a fish for 3 days. How many of you might get a change of attitude when you're in the belly of a fish for 3 days? Jonah's a short story, 15 minutes. Jonah runs, Jonah prays, Jonah preaches, and then what does Jonah do? He pouts. He pouts. Have you ever been asked to do something you don't want to do? How many in this church has ever been asked to do something you just don't want to do it? I mean, right, you just don't want to do it. How many of you have that thing going on, like I kind of have sometimes, you can't say no? How many people in this room just can't say no sometimes? And then you say yes to something you don't want to do, and you know you got to do it. How many have ever been in that situation? Oh, and you get there, and you know you don't want to do it, but yet you know you have to. Who's ever been in that situation? How many know your attitude's just... And how many know everybody knows it too? Everybody knows it. Forced to do something you don't want to do. Well, Jonah is asked to do something he doesn't want to do. Let's look at Jonah chapter 1 verse 2.
Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.
Arise, Jonah! Go to Nineveh! Jonah's probably planned his day like most everybody else. He's going to do that, which he always does. Probably has his day already laid out. Probably has his, week already laid out, and knows exactly what he's going to do. He's got it all figured out. Got this all scheduled. 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11. How many's got days like that? Anybody go with a day keeper, like a little count? I'm going to do this and do this and do this and do this, right? Well, nowadays we got right on the computer, don't we? How many know right now, I have one of these, a shared calendar. Who has a shared calendar? Oh, Chrissy, that's just the most marvelous thing.
Love it.
Oh, I love it. Because everybody gets to put in my calendar what they want me to do for them that day. Becca, you have one? Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Becca, you got one, right? Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. How many of you use Microsoft Outlook or Express? Okay, it's a wonderful thing, Bob, because see, you get to put down your times on your calendar, and you get to share it. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And everybody gets to see it. And then guess what they get to do? Put things on it. Oh, it's a wonderful invention. You know what I mean, Becca? It's wonderful. I look at my calendar and I go, who put all those things on it? Everybody. My week is called Organized Chaos. How many understands organized chaos? It's, hey, I think I know what I'm doing, but you never know. And so Jonah probably had his day all laid out. Hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the same old what? Same old. I'm just going to ease on through this day. I know exactly what I'm going to do. And God says, hey, Jonah, get up! I'm going to add something on your calendar. I'm going to give you something new to do today, Jonah. I want you to go to Nineveh. How many have ever been asked to go someplace by God and you didn't want to go? True, right? It's all true. Hey, Lord, if you want to use me 2 to 3 months, nah, not Thursday. I can fit you in, Lord. No, not Saturday. 10:30 to 12:30, now I'm in church. Well, Lord, call me. I'll see if I can fit you in. That's where we all work, isn't it? Oh, Lord, you can use me between this time slot. How many have a time slot for the Lord? Okay, next week is on honesty and truthfulness, okay? How many have a time slot for the Lord? You know when you're available. You know when you are. I know that because when we call like cleanup days, there's like a whole like 4 of us. So there must be like a little slot in there that you can fit it in somewhere. How many got at least an hour for the Lord next week? Anybody got an hour for the Lord? At least an hour for the Lord? Who's got at least 1 hour for the Lord? Everybody? Okay, pass out the sheet. Write it down. I'm calling people. Right. You put down what hour you're available, guess what's going to happen, Scott? I'm calling you. You're going to hang out with Wah. We'll be going someplace for the Lord in that hour time slot. Now you know what you're all saying. I'm busy. Can we start this next week? You know, arise. Go to Nineveh. How many understand that when the Lord calls, sometimes it's unexpected? Isn't it? I mean, sometimes when the Lord calls you, it's unpredictable. Wouldn't it be great if, like, you could say, Lord, I want you to use me within this 15 minutes. It's not the way it works. How many know people get sick when they get sick? How many understand that people pass away when they pass away? I've instituted, since I'm the senior chaplain where I work, I have told the company I want a 2-week notice if someone's going to die. So I can fit it in. I want a 2-week notice so I can fit it in. Guess how that's working out for me so far, Mark? Not working out. It's unpredictable. Jonah, rise. Go to Nineveh. One time I was doing a worship service at Teen Challenge. About 7 years ago or so, there was an individual at Teen Challenge who knew me and some other people. His name was Lloyd. Called me on the phone and said, "Hey, Pastor Tom, you think you could come up to Teen Challenge on some Saturdays and do the worship service up there?" I said, "Sure, I'll do that." And I talked to some other musician friends of mine. I had a bass player, had a drummer, had a keyboardist. Had me. And I turned to my friends and said, "Hey, you all want to get involved?" "Oh, yeah! Yeah, we're going to get involved." "Awesome! Awesome!" And so for about the first 6 months, guess what? I had a bass player, and I had a drummer, and I had a keyboard player, and I had me. And we would meet for breakfast at 7 o'clock, on a Saturday morning to go to Harmerville where Teen Challenge is. Now, it's 1 hour and 20 minutes from my house, so I have to get up at 5 to meet my friends to go do the service. Well, the bass player quit. Then it was me and the drummer and the keyboard player. And the keyboard player quit. It was me and the drummer. And then the drummer quit. Guess who it is now?
You.
Me. It's me. It's only me. Everybody bailed on me. But guess who it is now? Me. It's me. It's me on a Sunday night. Mike goes with me. It's me. And one day, it was a Saturday that I didn't have to go. I said, "Whoa! I actually got a Saturday with nothing, nothing I have to do, nothing. Nothing. Praise God. I have a Saturday with nothing to do." And Sissy gave me things to do. She had the list. And I thought, that's okay. I need to do the things on the list. And Friday night, Lloyd called me on the phone and said, Pastor Tom, arise tomorrow morning and come to Teen Challenge. And I said, oh, no, it's not my Saturday. I don't want to arise and go to Teen Challenge. I don't want to. I want to stay home and sleep. But Pastor Tom, the person who's going to come can't make it, and all the Teen Challenge wants you to be there. Arise and go to Teen Challenge. Arise and go to Teen Challenge. What time? Okay. I didn't want to go. How many's ever wanted to do something? You didn't want to do it. You just didn't want to do it, but you knew you were stuck. How many's ever been stuck and you know you have to do it? You don't want to do it, but you just know you do, right? 5 o'clock, I got up and Sissy said, where are you going? I'm going to change it. Why? It's your day off. Why are you going? Because they're stuck. And she said to me, I'm stuck too. I need you to hear it today. How many know my attitude is not going in a good place? It's just not going in a good place. I know. I'll be back. I'll come right back. Right back when I'm done. And she said, okay. And so I jumped in the shower, which is what I usually do, and I got up and I was leaving my house about 6 o'clock, and I kissed Sissy goodbye on the head like I always do. I said, I'll be back. And she said, okay. And before I walked out the door, I'm looking at my side of the bed, the dresser, and on the dresser is a guitar pick. Piece of plastic, like this. And the voice in my head said, get that pick. I said, well, I have one. Take the pick. Okay. And I stuck it in my back pocket, just like that. Whatever. Maybe I'm going to lose one. I stuck it in my back pocket. So I go to Teen Challenge. I get there about 7:30. I'm setting up my sign stuff. I'm tuning in my guitar. In comes Teen Challenge. They're all sitting, like a chapel like this. They're all sitting in the pews. And, hey, Pastor Tom, man, I'm so glad you're here. And I said, yeah, me too. Yeah, praise God. How many's ever got someone you just had a bad attitude? Anybody ever have a bad attitude? How many feel guilty because you know you're supposed to have a good one? And you know you're supposed to put on the face, right? And I said, awesome! Awesome! And then comes Teen Challenge. And right there in front of me is a kid, 18 years old. I never met him before. And he's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And I started, you know, playing and singing. And my spirit was kind of being lifted because I was in the praise mode. Kind of get that idea. I was really in the praise mode because Teen Challenge is an awesome place. Man, they're up and they're clapping their hands. And I was really in it. And I brought a message that was really powerful to them. They were receiving it, and it was just awesome. And it went really, really well. And they were piling out, and this 18-year-old kid was sitting right there. And I'm putting stuff away. He said, hey, what kind of guitar is that? And at the time, it was an Ovation Ballad there. And I said, well, it's an Ovation. He said, oh, man, that's really neat. I said, well, thanks. Do you play? Well, I'm really trying to play. He said, the only guitar we have was that one in the corner. And I looked at it, and I didn't even know it had two strings missing. So I went over and said, well, I can fix that up for you. And I had some extra strings, and I put strings on the guitar and everything. I'm handing it to him. I said, what's your name? And he told me, Randy. And I said, hi, Randy, nice to meet you. And he said to me, oh, you're the Pastor Tom? I said, no, I'm the Pastor Tom, I guess. He said, oh, man, you play so well. Thank you for that message. I said, you're welcome. So I'm getting ready to leave, and he said, hey, Pastor Tom, can I ask you for something? I said, yeah. He said, you wouldn't have a guitar pick, would you?
Oh, wow.
I do. I do have a guitar pick. Why? He said, because, you know, I'm not allowed off of this hill. Because I'm new, and I want to play, but I don't have a guitar pick. And I feel sorry for myself, and I tried to cut one out of a piece of cardboard, and it didn't work. And I'm so depressed because I can't even get off this stupid place to get a guitar pick. Can I have one? Yeah, here, you can have it. Here, you can have it. He starts crying. I said, what's the matter? He said, I plan on killing myself today. Because I couldn't even get off this hill to get a stupid guitar pick. Have you ever been told to go someplace you didn't want to go? Too busy? Too busy? too busy for the Lord to go. 25-cent piece of plastic. I'm too busy. I'm too important. I just have so many things to do that preoccupy my time. You just don't know how busy I am, God. Arise and go there. Do you know how busy I am? Don't you know my commitment of time to so many people? You want me to put something else on my calendar? Are you sharing my calendar too, God? Are you sharing it too? Too busy. Too busy. I'll tell you the truth. If my friend would have called me on the phone and said, Hey, Pastor Tom, this is what I need you to do. There's a kid up here that needs a guitar pick. Would you mind stopping the guitar center, pick up a pick and drive it up here an hour and a half and give it to him? I didn't turn around and drive an hour and a half back. You know what I would have said? No. There's a lot of people that can get a 25-cent piece of plastic. I wonder this morning what the Lord is saying to you. Arise and go. And you got all the excuses in the world why I can't possibly go. I may have a whole book full of excuses. You know you have them. I know you have them. And guess who else knows you have them? Nineveh. I ain't going to Nineveh. Ain't no way I'm going to Nineveh. Ain't no way. Yeah. And the reason why I can't go to Nineveh is because I can't get out of my house and walk across the street 20 feet and check on somebody. That's why I can't go to Nineveh. I can't go to Nineveh because I can't leave this cubicle and go across the hall and talk to that person in that cubicle. Right. That's why I ain't going to Nineveh. Because I can't do the little things. How am I going to do the big things? Aren't we all like Jonah a little bit sometimes? God's call on our lives is unpredictable. He's got your calendar in His face. He knows you. He knows the gifts He gave to you. He knows He needs to use you. And He's not going to call and ask for your permission. He's going to say, arise and what? Go. And you're going to say what? No. You're going to say no. You're going to say, I got to work. I'm too busy. I got this. I got that. I got this. I'm not smart enough. I didn't go to seminary. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to preach. I don't know what to say. You all know we have those excuses. Who has those excuses? You know we do. You know we do. We all have them. Here's the truth, church. I have never, not one single time in all of my life, in my whole career in the ministry, not one time did I ever go in and sit next to somebody who's dying and they said to me, what seminary did you go to?
That's right.
Not one time. Not one time did somebody say to me, what is your educational requirements for being here? Guess how many times they asked me that, Clyde? They didn't ask me what college I went to. They didn't ask me what courses I took in school. You know what they wanted to know? Do you have the time to sit here with me in my fear? That's what they wanted to know. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
That's what they wanted to know. 2 months ago, I went to Family Hospice in Lawrenceville, Canterbury Place, right off of Penn Avenue. And I went in to this woman's room, and she was obviously in the process of dying. And off to the side was a young woman, probably 20. And she was sitting in the rocking chair, which would normally be my place. And she's sitting there. And I walked in, I looked at the person, woman, and I looked at this beautiful young woman. And I said, oh, hi. And she said, hi. I said, I'm Pastor Tom. She said, oh, I know who you are. And I said, well, who are you? And she told me her name, Alice. And I said, Alice, are you her granddaughter? No, sir. Are you a relative? No, sir. Are you a friend of the family? No, sir. Well, what are you doing here, Alice? She said, well, I'm a student That dude came, and the Lord God said, come and sit with her. So I did. What? Say that again. Run that by my ears again. Oh no, I go to Duquesne, and the Lord said, come to the hospice today and just sit with people who don't have anybody sit with them. What? And she said, Pastor, I can't sing. I didn't go to seminary, but I got some time. And what the Lord God did for me, this is the least I can do for Him.
Amen.
The least I can do for Him. Arise and go. Go where, Lord? Does it really matter? Because you know what the excuses will be? I don't have any gas. I can't pay for parking. It's too far. I won't know how to get there. I don't have the time. Jonah just simply said what?
No.
No. No. And so what he did was he bought a ticket on a boat going where? In the opposite direction. Church, let me stop with this and I'll pick up next week. Hey, guess what? You can run, but you ain't hiding.
Amen.
You can run all you want. You can run and buy a ticket in the opposite direction to God's call. But let me tell you something, church. You can run, but guess what? You ain't hiding. And number two, you can run, but you're not running Him. Arise and go. What am I going to do when I get there? I'll let you know. Church, let me end with this, church. Let me end with this, church. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called.
Amen.
He's not going to give you your doctor in divinity degree. He wants you to say, I gave you two arms. I gave you two ears. Hug and listen. That's all you got to do. And don't tell me you can't do that. Because you can. Arise. And go. So I tell you this. When you leave here, arise and go. Don't you tell me you don't know somebody needs a hug or a love. Don't you tell me you don't know somebody needs somebody to talk to. Don't you tell me, because you know you do. How many know at least one person that could use a hug or a phone call? How many know at least one person? At least one person. Well then, arise. Arise and do what?
Go.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the sharing here today. Thank you, Lord, for our two beautiful people that shared the gift of music. That's awesome. Awesome. And Lord, I know there's a whole lot more people outside these doors that could use some of that too. There was a whole bunch of people in here that prayed over Sister Barb, and it's rightful that we do, because she's our sister in Christ and we love her. There's a whole bunch of people out here that's going to have surgery. They got nobody to talk to. They got no phone calls. They got no hugs. They got nothing. And they're going through this themselves. And you say, arise and go. But Lord, that's what we need to do. We need to rise. And we need to go. And all God's people said,